For a number of weeks, I've been anticipating the beginning of this brand new radio program called Truth to Ponder. I wonder how this program will proceed over the days and the weeks ahead. I felt such an urgency to do this program on a regular basis, Monday through Friday. I've been hosting a weekend show now for 5.5 years. I've often told my wife how difficult with the things that I've got going on it is just to do a weekend radio show. And now here we are with a brand new radio program.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
One of the reasons I decided to do this program and give it a try is to establish a few things. Number one, this program is predominantly going to be a radio program heard on international shortwave. While it also will be as a podcast for those that are unable to hear it on shortwave, I believe the primary vehicle for this program needs to be on shortwave, and here's why. The tech tyrants of today control too much of the narrative. If you have an opinion on a platform like Twitter or Facebook that goes against what they call a hard-to-define community standard, meaning we don't agree with your politics, whatever you put there magically disappears, or others just never can find it, or you are simply put in Facebook jail or kicked off Twitter. People of faith, not hateful people at all, though they are often called hateful, but they're not. The tech tyrants with their billions of dollars can buy a Washington politician. The tech tyrants with their billions of dollars can hire an army of lawyers. The tech tyrants with their billions of dollars can run you over and kick you to the curb if you don't follow the narrative that they're pushing today. If you come from a Judeo-Christian background and you look at the world with a Christian worldview, you might be considered dangerous or ill-informed or not woke. My wife cannot stand the word woke, and I use it a lot. I use it to describe the stupidity and the satanic things that are occurring in our own nation. One of the greatest tools that can be used against any society is to control the narrative. And that's why I've called this program Truth to Ponder. I want to share with you facts. And if I have an opinion, you'll know it's my opinion. But I want to share with you a lot of facts to help in guiding you in creating your opinion. Opinions that are based on feelings and emotions oftentimes are fleeting, oftentimes are totally inaccurate. Facts are facts, though truth can be manipulated. Turn on the television. Look at a newspaper. Look at an online website that does news. Most of the online websites, well, they have a reason that they exist. Some are trying to be fair and just report facts. Others are highly opinionated and want to control the narrative on either side of the spectrum. The spectrum of the left in our society today would have you believe that they are honestly virtuous people with nothing but kindness and acceptance in their hearts and their minds and everything about them. They are the most tolerant of people on the face of the earth. Yet the truth be known, the left in our world today is among the most intolerant of all people. Let me give you several examples. The movement we've all heard about out there in the world today that captures headlines each and every day, and on certain outlets a false narrative or a very, shall we say, sanitized narrative of who these people really are. Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Well, on the surface, it sounds good, and it really does. It is true that black lives matter. In my world, all lives matter. All are precious in the sight of God. To say any less about an individual because of the color of their skin or their ethnicity would be a terrible failing on my part. When I was much younger, in my teens, observing the work being done in trying to build racial equality, it is a cause that I willingly and happily signed on board because I believed in it. Remember that song? It was done by Ray Stevens. Seems like a million years ago now. Everything is beautiful. It starts out with that Sunday school song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. All the colors, all the ethnicity. He loves them because he created them. All my life, I have felt that way. And what is such an alarming thing to me is how you can take a righteous cause and thoroughly turn it upside down and distort its purpose. To listen to the proponents and the advocates of this movement called Black Lives Matter, you would think that daily hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent black men are being shot to death just because of the color of their skin by some white skinhead police officer. You would believe that when you hear their narrative. But to the group Black Lives Matter, black lives do not matter. Paul Alinsky, who wrote the book on how, you know, the rules for radicals, always talked about to find a cause, steal its name and thunder, and use it to cause a revolution that has nothing to do with the cause you say that it does. If you do any in-depth reading about this group called Black Lives Matter, you will quickly find out that black lives do not matter. Because, see, if black lives mattered, then all those shot in one weekend by other blacks in the city of Chicago would matter. But they don't. They never discuss that. They never want to protest that. They never want to acknowledge it. And the truth be known, the city of Chicago and its metropolitan area represent under 1% of the entire United States population. Chicago is 2.7 million people, and the entire United States is like 330 million plus. In Chicago, in one weekend, we have seen many a young black man's life come to an end, being shot, not by a police officer, being shot, not by someone that's white, but shot in their own neighborhood by a person of the same skin color. Yet not a word is said. It doesn't make the news, especially on CNN or MSNBC. That doesn't fit the narrative. And so you can have 5 or 10, in some cases up to 12 people die or 15 die of gunshot wounds in one weekend in Chicago. In the year 2019, in a country of 330 million people, 11, for the whole year, 11 black men that may or may not have been armed, most likely they weren't sure, were shot by police officers. 11. In one year, in a population of 330 million people, one thing that is in common in virtually every case: the suspect was resisting arrest and not following a lawful order. In the recent weeks, Kenosha, Wisconsin, there's a lot we need to learn about that case, but it didn't take long for the governor to open his idiotic mouth and pronounce judgment without any facts in his hand. And what did the governor of the great state of Wisconsin do? He unleashed a violent riot on the city of Kenosha. Buildings were burned, windshields destroyed by baseball bats, cars set on fire. Injury and death in Kenosha, Wisconsin, because an idiotic governor that doesn't have the common sense that God gave seafood made the judgment. And the city was ill-prepared and stood down. Now, were these organic riots that started in Kenosha? Not hardly. People from all over descended upon that city, bringing gasoline, bringing weapons, bringing baseball bats, bringing gas masks, bringing illegal fireworks. They were prepared to make Molotov cocktails. There was one caravan that was stopped before it got there. They were seen filling up gas cans as they were heading to Kenosha. The entire Black Lives Matter organization is fake and phony. It is a front, nothing more than a front for an organization that wants to turn the United States of America into a socialist hellhole, like a Venezuela. Inevitably, these despots, that's what they want to be. They want to be the power despots. And they have used our educational system for the past 20 plus years as no longer so much institutions of education, but places for the necessary indoctrination of our young people. When you send your child to a public school, you are trusting and hoping that that school will teach your child how to read, how to write, something about history, how to function in life, an understanding of how government works, something about science, to understand the world around them. But today, it's more of a political narrative going on. Instead of teaching that we have two sexes in this world, now we have 54 genders that we must acknowledge. There are many schools, a significant and scary number, that do their best to tell your children, if you have one, or grandchild in a school, not to believe the stuff that your parents or grandparents believe, because they are just ill-informed and they are just ignorant. They don't understand, especially if they are churchgoers. Oh, man. Now, there are some woke churches that are acceptable. Of course, they've denied the authority of Scripture. They've abandoned the faith once delivered. They're nothing but churches of apostasy, the synagogues of Satan. The reason for this radio program is to talk about the issues facing us today. Now, something else. I want to just do this here on this first program to make sure that you understand where this is coming from. My goal is not to have this program all about me and not to be the primary speaker of this radio program. I know and have met so many great people that I'm encouraging to participate in this radio program. Some of these people that I know do not have any real background in radio or television or anything of the media. They are just highly knowledgeable people with common sense who can think something through and do the research and get the factual information to help you discover what the truth is. In any despot regime in the world, in history, especially the history of the last, let's say, 100 years, capturing the media and entertainment industry is one of the first things a despot government does. Because then you can control what the people hear and eventually what they think. We call that propaganda. A series of half-truths and even total lies that are said long enough, hard enough, where you feel out of place if you should ever dare disagree with that narrative. How do you think Nazi Germany ever came into power? Look at history. And most of our young people today do not understand the full history of Nazi Germany. They know little bits and pieces that can then be manipulated to give you a false narrative. Like, you know, our president is a Nazi or a racist or whatever. Thank you, school districts, for destroying our young people's minds and spirits. When you want to control what people think, you can start with education, the media, and even entertainment. And for a good part of my life, year by year, decade by decade, those institutions have been co-opted. And those that want to be successful in Hollywood, those that want to be successful in the music business, those that want to be successful in network television, they have to swear their allegiance to the new narrative. In the book 1984, we talked about this on the weekend program I do not that long ago. The oppressive government had what is called the Ministry of Truth. The Ministry of Truth's job is to create a new daily narrative. History is constantly erased. Streets are renamed and statues torn down. And coming out of that television screen is a voice telling you what you need to think and what you need to believe, because that is the truth of the day. And unless you want to disappear or be considered, well, unstable, you do your job and you never question the narrative. Well, I got news for you. There are a lot of narratives that are coming up in this world today and here even in the United States that I take great umbrage with, and I vehemently disagree because they're peddling a lie and trying to disguise it as truth. In my life, I have very seldom agreed with a lot of the things that I've heard from Jesse Jackson. But he said something many years ago that stands out that I will wholeheartedly agree. He said, "A half-truth can be a whole lie." Let me say that again. A half-truth can be a whole lie. And so, once again, the reason that I'm starting this radio program now, and I hope to make this a platform for a number of individuals that you'll hear some commentary from, some interviews with, and I hope to provide you information you can't find anywhere else or have a hard time finding, or when you see, it's hard to dig into the weeds, so to speak, to get to the facts. I'm only good at doing certain things. My goal is to facilitate others in their work, in their ability to share. Now, one more thing before we take a little break here. As I said, this program is on shortwave radio, and it might end up on some independently owned radio stations around the United States. That's part of our goal. And yes, it'll be available on a website as long as the website's not been shut down. It'll be available as a podcast. I doubt if it'll ever be available on YouTube. If it is, it won't be for long. YouTube is now a gatekeeper to tell you what to think. Like Facebook, who my friends call Fascist Book, and Twitter, which will throw you over the side if you dare disagree. That's why I call YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook the tech tyrants. Google is another one of the massive tech tyrants out there. For years, everybody said to get somewhere in life, you need to be ranked high by Google, because so many people use their search engine. I've compared their search engine to a couple of others. One is called DuckDuckGo. And the bias when it comes to politics and a narrative, you can't miss it when you compare the two. Google will decide what you are to think, find, see, and absorb. They weight everything based on the politics and the narrative they believe you should embrace. It is as simple as that. It is a narrative to which you need to embrace. This program, Truth to Ponder, begins a new chapter in my life. I had to spend a lot of time talking with my wife because of the time commitment to prepare a show, to record interviews, to do the research, to then edit. I'm a one-man shop. I don't have a staff. I've helped produce programs for other individuals that had a team of people doing research and lining up guests and even propose questions. And then the program is assembled and edited and then has to be distributed to either the radio stations or platforms. And I know that on average, for a one-hour show like this, it takes a team of probably 6 or 7 people just to get the radio show produced Monday through Friday. And I've taken upon this on myself, along with the other things that I'm trying to do. But I feel that we as a people, a nation, and even the Western world have come to a crossroad. And in some parts of this Western world, they've crossed over. And it may be too late. We're going to look at the world in which we live today. We're going to discuss the narratives. But you know something that really disturbs me? Is how we as parents and grandparents have allowed our public education institutions to become nothing more than Hitler Youth indoctrination centers in many cases. I'm not saying that about all. Those that create the textbooks are probably the worst culprits out there. I have seen history books firsthand where history has literally been altered, just like in the book 1984. History is erased, statues torn down, roads renamed. There's no past, just an ever-changing today. It is happening. And if we don't realize what is happening, if we are not knowledgeable, one of the worst things you can do in trying to deal with issues like this is to become purely a reactionary. Because oftentimes that is an emotional response. I've got to be very careful myself. I have a passion for the future of this nation, that it may be a better world for my children and grandchildren and great-grandkids as they come. But I don't see a good future for them coming. As day by day, the educational system erodes. I'm going to give you one example that I know of firsthand. This is not second or third hand or something that I picked up where somebody put it on the internet. Family member. High school graduate. Go to that high school's webpage and that entire school district's webpage. They brag about this 98-point-something% graduation rate. It looks and sounds really good. Wow, 97% graduation rate. You know, back in the 60s, that was unheard of. In the 50s or the 40s or the 30s, nowhere near that. How many young men dropped out of high school when they turned age 15 or 16 to go to work? Very common decades ago, 50 years ago. Now we have this emphasis on college. So the schools need to graduate these youth to go to college or something. But here's the dirty lie. I know 2 students, same high school, that have never completed the work. So they become considered special needs. Though their only need is they're lazy. They're too busy wanting to play video games. The parents are not instilling values and discipline and the basics of life. Like, you know, there are some responsibilities like bringing your dishes out of your bedroom back to the kitchen and not leaving them under your bed. You have kids today that are 18 and totally unskilled for anything in life except Facebook, Instagram, and a video game. They have no understanding of U.S. history. Their mathematics skills are poor. Their knowledge of science, minimal. And so they magically become these special needs students. And their course load is reduced. And then on that day in May, not this year, of course, but last year in the case of the one I'm thinking, wears a cap and gown and all these cords around their neck because they've now graduated high school with what back in my day and perhaps your day was a fourth grade education. These are the ones that if they get into a community college and go on to another college are going to be the ones in charge of this world in about 20 years. This is Truth to Ponder. Our website, as long as the website's allowed to stand, can be found at Truth, the number two, Ponder. The word Truth, the number two, and then the word Ponder, truth2ponder.com. That is truth2ponder.com. You'll find our information about where the program can be heard and also links to hear it on the page and also the sites that will be carrying it as a podcast as long as I can keep a program of this nature going without the tech tyrants trying to crush it. I'll tell you more about this program and some of the truth that I see and the narrative that you need to understand.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And we will be right back.
The need for plowing. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Every autumn, the children of Israel would plow their fields for sowing. What's plowing? It's the process of scraping and breaking up and turning over the soil. Why? Because soil needs to get turned over because it becomes hard and dry and dead if it just sits there. The natural effect of time is to make it hard and unreceptive to life. God's people have to be a people of plowing. You see, what's true for soil is also true for your heart. On its own, your heart tends to become hard. If it doesn't change, it tends to grow dry. The natural effect of time is to make your heart more and more unreceptive to God's word and his love and his life. What's the answer? Spirit plowing. Before you can sow new life, you have to plow. Plowing cuts through hardness, breaks up the soil, turns it over so it can receive the seeds of life. And so plowing is needed not only for soil, but also for your heart. Therefore, it's written, "Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord." See, understand what the natural course of this world is and the progression of time. It'll always make your heart and your faith and your walk hard and dry. But you can undo all that. Learn to plow your heart. Your walks become dry. Your heart's become hard to his voice. It's all right. You didn't know to plow. Now you do. This week, I challenge you to plow your heart and life. Break up your routine. Break up your pattern. Break up your rut. Break up that habit. Break up your daily life. Cut through it all. Open up your life to the plowing of the Spirit. Take a day just to seek the Lord and be filled. Let him break open that crust and turn your life over to receive the wonders of his grace. Break up your fallow ground, my friend. It is time to seek the Lord. Want more? Ask for the fallow ground. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discovered the place where the lost Ark of the Covenant was? Well, a newly revealed ancient discovery just as awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors. You'll love it. It's our free gift to you. And Sapphire's Daily Spiritual Vitamins guaranteed to revitalize your walk. Or a free New Testament. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. Call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to join with me and bring it back to them, to bless those who blessed you and reach the unreached peoples from every nation. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. It's the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi. LODI, New Jersey, 07644. Until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Adon Katsir, the Lord of the Harvest.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to our new program called Truth to Ponder, heard Monday through Friday here on WRMI Radio, and also as a podcast. You can find it at our website, which is Truth to Ponder, which is actually Truth, the number two, ponder.com. That's Truth, the number two, ponder.com. Today, putting together this first radio program, I feel almost inadequate. For several weeks, I've been thinking about how to start this program. I feel this responsibility on my shoulders to do this broadcast, but also to use this broadcast to give a platform to a number of other people that I've met along the way. I have a friend that produces a fairly regular podcast called Underground USA. His name is Frank Salvetto, and so much of what he has to share is truth to ponder, where things are. He's been around, and you'll be hearing him from time to time featuring material here on this new program. Earlier today in this program, I talked a little bit about education and my feelings about public education in the Western world and where it is going in a negative way in the United States. And Frank had some interesting things to say about that in one of his podcasts, and I've invited him to share with us today his thoughts on education. Here's Frank Salvetto.
I just got finished posting a piece on undergroundusa.com, and it's housed on Medium as well as all of my writings, that asks a question. Why aren't we taking the opportunity that's presented to us in this COVID event to reinvent the education system? We already have school children who have been sequestered in quarantine. They've missed a whole half year of school pretty much in the beginning of the year, and many face losing at least another quarter, if not a half a year, going into the fall, with various states saying that they won't allow children to go back to school. We have been trying to educate our children at home using different online methods. You know, Khan Academy is a great thing. It's free. People should use it. But someone has to administer that educational technique. Why isn't the entrepreneurial class in the United States looking at this as an opportunity to create modular curriculum, one-on-one curriculum through technology that allows a child to learn at their own pace outside of the classroom, so that we can not only educate our children better, but expunge the ideologues from the teaching class access to our children? There isn't a day that goes by that there isn't a story somewhere in the newspapers and online where we see teachers proselytizing the progressive mantra in the classroom, politicizing the classroom. We've seen some teachers actually arrested in Portland and Seattle and Chicago who have joined in the Antifa protests and bring that mentality into the classroom. The opportunity that presents us to remove that element from access to our children and to remove that ideology from the educational process and to reinstall into the educational process the goal of critical thinking skills, so that we're teaching our children how to think, not what to think. This is a golden opportunity. And when you look at it from a free market capitalist sort of system, this is a curriculum that people would buy. It also disenfranchises the monopoly that the school textbook companies have on the narrative from history all the way through social studies. As it is now, the textbook companies, they cater to Texas and California, New York and Illinois. Every other state be damned, because they don't want to have to print 50 different books for 50 different states. Well, in the age of technology, edits to text happen online, not in books that have to be printed and boxed and housed and shipped and stored, etc. we are missing a golden opportunity to be able to not only create a completely new industry, but one that's competitive, and we can make truth and fact and accurate history the divining rod about who survives in the marketplace. So while the politicians are debating whether or not our kids should go back to school because of COVID-19, the smart person who's looking at a solution-based product to bring to the marketplace so that our kids can be better equipped for the future is thinking, should they go back to school at all? Now, there's a lot of things that have to be worked out to make this something that is viable. You know, if a parent has to go to work, or that's a single parent, or if both parents work, how do we educate the child using this type of thing? There are ways to get around this. We have libraries. All we need to do is hire technical staff who can help with the software, period, dot. There's interaction at a library. We pay for the libraries already. Why not utilize them to the fullest? And what better place to have a child learning than a place where if that boy or girl is sparked by an idea that they have just seen in their modular curriculum, they can go look up more books about it or more videos about it. Have somebody there who can direct them to the right material so they can consume that to fan those flames of creativity and passion. If necessity is the mother of invention, then this is the solution for teachers' unions having too much ideological and political control across the board in our country, for ideological proselytizing in the classroom, for ineffective teaching, for really bad curriculum. And when you want to get into the social ills of what happens on the inner city, boy, what would dismantling the inner city schools in favor of focusing on a modular curriculum that is individually student-based due to the bullying problem, the problem with diversity and how that's being used as a weapon in the classroom, the gangs that network in the schools, the drugs that are being sold on the playgrounds. There's just too many things that come out of privatizing education through technology, too many benefits, too many things that benefit our society, too many things that benefit the children going forward. And in my book, the A number one thing is the accurate portrayal and preservation of history and the expungement of propagandizing progressivism in the classroom. To the people who have the deep pockets on the right out there, or the deep pockets in the libertarian class, or the deep pockets in the I'm not affiliated with any class, to the people who support the free market system and want to leave the country a better place than when they were born into it, this is a path you should seriously be looking at, because you can make money and leave the world a better place with better educated students and an intact U.S. history for future generations. For theundergroundusa.com, I'm Frank Salvato.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Thank you, Frank, for those encouraging words about education. Education is something you'll hear me talk about from time to time here on this new program called Truth to Ponder. I was very blessed and very fortunate growing up that I had both parents and grandparents that were determined that my brother and myself, and even my younger sister who came along later, would have the advantage of a quality education. Now understand, at the time, we're talking the 1950s heading toward the 1960s, where for the most part, in pretty much all the United States, I would say the vast majority, I mean vast majority of teachers in public schools really cared about their students and their education. They really did. My grandparents were actively involved for years in a Lutheran church in Long Island. And they knew of some of the Lutheran schools that existed. They even supported a venture called Lutheran High School, also in Long Island. And they wanted my brother and myself and then my sister to have the advantage of a good education. Now, for those that don't fully understand what a Missouri Synod Lutheran school is like, it is challenging. Its commitment to education in areas like mathematics, in areas like science, in areas like technology, in areas like English and all the courses you're supposed to take, were second to none. They were as good as or better than most of the public schools you would find, because they had one little advantage that, while public schools still had that advantage to a degree, it's called discipline and parental participation. Let me explain that again. It was a mixture of discipline and parental cooperation. In other words, when you're a parent back in those days and you want to send your child to this school, there is an understanding that you're going to be a part of your child's learning. And the encouragement to observe what they learn, the assignments that they get, and to ensure that they are learning. It's important. Because, see, when a school and a parent are involved in the process of education, well, the results are generally a whole lot better. It's also very transparent. Now, of course, part of our school day consisted of devotions and even some study of the scriptures. I'm sure some of those in the left would think that's indoctrination. But you know, as I got older in life and I analyzed it for myself, I had no trouble making the decision. Not that I was indoctrinated, I was given the gift of common sense, rationality, and being able to discover truth in a world full of lies and deception. Was I the best student in school? Not really, not always. But I'm still thankful of the time that I came through my schooling. As I said, the first years of my education, kindergarten through or almost completing the eighth grade, we moved. So I had my first years in a kindergarten, then first through the eighth grade, with some remarkable teachers, some that years later when I would visit the school after I finished college were still there. They still loved those kids. They still really were concerned, even back in the 70s and heading toward the 1980s, of some of the negative changes that were occurring in our world and how we needed to ground students in things that are important and to give them the tools in life to learn, observe, and be rational. When I went to high school, it was in a small town in upstate New York, about 30-some-odd miles east of Rochester, about 10-12 miles south of Lake Ontario. The heart of Wayne County, New York, farm country. And there I did my 4 years of high school, finished out the last little bit of my eighth grade year, those last couple of months, then had the summer. And then I was in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade and graduating in 1972. The teachers of that era, I can remember many of them, loved the students that they were entrusted by parents. And in a small town like little village of Newark, New York, nothing to do with New Jersey, we're talking small town. farming town. You saw these teachers in the grocery stores and around town, and they knew you by name. And chances are your parents knew them too. Most of the teachers that I can remember were church-going folk back in those days. And they really did care. We had a music teacher that was just unbelievable. And he and his wife would welcome us students over to their home, especially when we had a concert coming up and we needed just that little bit of extra rehearsal. And several of us would come over to learn some of the music score. He cared that much to open his home to students, he and his wife. Others were just as caring. And I can remember as clear as day, the vice principal and also math teacher in that school, Gordon Santoro, probably no longer is with us, World War II veteran, Marine like my dad. He would work with students having a hard time with a math question. He didn't care how late he was getting home. If somebody had an issue and they were not understanding a mathematical problem or concept, because he knew if you didn't deal with it now, the person is going to have difficulty going forward, because this may be foundational to the next step in the learning process. And sometimes all of us, myself included, we get to this point that there's something that's just not registering in our minds. And Gordon Santoro would take the time to walk you through it and make you feel encouraged that you can do it. That high school back in those days, it seems like a million years ago. We never worried about rioting. We never worried about real violence. Oh, yeah, were there fights? Sure. Did they last really long? No. It's funny how many people would get into a fight that became best of friends before high school years went by. High school is a time of transition for both girls and boys to become women and men. Awkward time. Difficult time. It takes a special breed of teacher to endure high school students. I don't know which is worse, second graders or 10th graders. Looking back, probably 10th graders. You're still a child in one way and an adult in another, and you're having a hard time finding your way. We never worried about school shootings. During hunting season, you'd be surprised how many rifles were sitting in pickup trucks, cars, and lockers. We didn't worry about getting stabbed. I can remember being in an English class. This guy had a brand new Bowie knife strapped to his leg. We thought nothing about it. Matter of fact, the English teacher was kind of fascinated and said, "Hey, can I see that for a second? Where did you get it? Oh, I need to get one of these." We never worried about those kind of things going wrong when I went to school. There were a lot of things we did and got away with. You know, remember, I'm the era of smoking in the boys' room. Now, by no means am I saying we were perfect or super well-behaved, but there were things you didn't worry about, and we came out of high school equipped. Today, I don't think so. As Frank said a few minutes ago, we need to consider what it's going to take to recapture education and control it again. We have been spoiled in having two career households where everybody's career becomes vitally important, and we just let the daycare centers and schools raise our kids, and we don't thoroughly get involved, except maybe in some of the extracurricular activities like sports or something along that line. And we are just assuming that our kids are getting a good education. Yet we saw not that long ago in Washington, D.C., a bunch of young people going into a restaurant and disturbing the customers, raising their fist like Hitler Youth, saying, "You have to say it, you have to say it, Black Lives Matters, you have to say it, you have to say it." They've been indoctrinated to be drones and used. I read a statistic and I had to double check it. I get a lot of stuff sent to me and I don't believe everything that you send me. It talked about of those individuals that had a job during various Black Lives Matter protests that went bad, where there's violence, cars being destroyed. I know in one case, a couple of people that were studying for law or in law school or just starting out a career have destroyed their careers. But surprisingly, the occupation, if they had a job at these protests, they were public school or college professors and teachers. What does that tell you about our world today? I pray that God hears us and heals our land. This is Truth to Ponder.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit are sown. Warn us the kingdom from your Son. And bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known. Church, that we may sing your praise eternally. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Summon us in our final strife, and lead us out of death to life.
It's hard to believe our first program is now behind us. I hope you'll take the time to listen again tomorrow on the Tuesday edition. Have a lot of surprises, a lot of exciting things happening this week. And I hope to be bringing on a lot of different voices before the week is out and give you some useful information. And most important, I want to give you some truth to ponder.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.